Thank you, Lord, that you are present with us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your servant, Ed, and we ask now that as he approaches the pulpit, that he would speak clearly and powerfully, that he would speak your words, that he would have your discerning voice in his heart and in his mind. Please, Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds for the message that we are about to receive. May it resonate with us, challenge us, convict us, but beyond, move us to a place where real love with real gospel focus would be the ever-present factor in our life. For God's name, for his glory. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is good to be with you this morning and open God's Word. And so much thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to be able to do that. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome those of you who are watching by video later on as well in our later morning service and our evening service. So glad that you are here as well. 1 Peter chapter 4 is going to be our text, and we're going to look at engaging all of God's people in mission. Engaging all of God's people in mission. I think it's an essential issue because, well, part of it's driven by the research that we do, and I'll mention that in just a moment. But most of it's driven by this passage right here, that we just heard a moment ago. Because in this passage, it says something quite remarkable. And I want us to look at the passage. It says this in verse 10, based on the gift they have received. Now, I'm actually reading from the HCSB, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I have it memorized in that, so your translation may be a little different, so just bear with me. It says, based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. This passage kind of points us to a practice that may challenge us. Here's why. Because this passage and our practice tend to be remarkably dissimilar. This passage says, based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It speaks of this word everyone, meaning, well, all kinds of people, all of God's people. Let's talk about some introductory matters before we quite jump fully into the text, because it's important to note that this is written to Christians. And so if you're here this morning, you haven't yet trusted in Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you're hearing me talking about using your gifts for ministry, and you might say, well, if I do that, then I'll be right with God, and I can turn over a new leaf and start over. No, let me just tell you, if you're not yet a follower of Christ, we don't want to encourage you to turn over a new leaf today. We want to encourage you to receive new life today. And in receiving that new life in Christ, to live for him as an agent of his kingdom. So what I'm describing today is living as one who has received new life. And so it's so essential that Peter here writes to believing Christians, and he reminds us of some things. Now, let me talk about some of those things that he reminds us of, because it kind of points to the reality that what's taking place in this passage, where everyone is using her or his gifts to serve others, is quite distant from what actually we see in practice. Right, let me quote some statistics. I run a research company. I'm the president of Lifeway Research. So let me quote some statistics. Every time I quote a statistic, an angel gets its wings. And so let me just quote a couple along the way. And these are true statistics. You know that 87% of statistics are made up on the spot, but these are actually not made up. These are actual real statistics. We've studied tens of thousands of churches around the world, and here's a commonality that we found. What we have found is that the majority of people in the majority of churches are unengaged in meaningful ministry or mission. The majority of people in the majority of churches are unengaged in meaningful ministry or mission. Now, NRE is a special church, and I hope you know that, because it's remarkable what God has done here, and I'm privileged to be able to share, and I'm so blessed and honored that Pastor Andrew would invite me to come and to be here with you. So maybe here those percentages are a little better, but let me say again that around the world, particularly in the Western world, the majority of people in the majority of churches are unengaged in meaningful ministry or mission. In other words, too many churches are filled with passive spectators rather than active participants in the mission of God. Too many churches are filled with passive spectators rather than active participants of the mission of God. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. And that's what I want us to look through together. And we're going to do that by looking at four things that we find in this passage. The first thing I want you to see, if you're taking notes, is this. Number one, all have gifts. All have gifts. Now, this is important because it sets the foundation of everything that flows from this passage.
In verse 10, it says this. It says, based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others. Now, let's take a look at that. Really, phrase by phrase, it says, based on the gift. Based on the gift they have received. The focus here is on the gift of the Holy Spirit. That if you've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've invited Christ into and to be Lord of your life, you've received the Holy Spirit. And upon receiving the Holy Spirit, you've received the gift, and gifts flow from that relationship with Him. So it says, based on the gift they have received, I want you not to miss this. Based on the gift they have received, I'm trying to emphasize the D there. You probably thought I was trying to sound like a preacher, but I really wasn't. You know, I know preachers sometimes can do that. But I'm trying to emphasize the D because it's past tense in the original language of here. It matters deeply because they have received, we have received. If you're a follower of Christ, based on the gift they have received in the past, well, when? At our conversion. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, when you were born again by the power of His gospel, based on the gift we have received. So we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which leads to giftings of ministry. And the next word, maybe the most important word in the phrase, right? Based on the gift they have received, everyone. Would you say that word with me? Everyone. The irony that only a few of you said the word everyone is rather clear. Let's try it again. Everyone. One more time. Everyone. So based on the gift they have received, are you ready? Everyone should use it to serve others. And so I looked it up in the original language because I wanted to impress you with my deep knowledge of the Greek manuscripts. And so I searched through several different variants of the manuscripts to kind of pull forward. I diagrammed the sentence. I looked deeply to tell you, what does the word everyone really mean in the passage? What are the translators missing? Are you ready? Here's what the word everyone means. Are you ready? Everyone. That's what it just meant right there, right? See, we must think, well, maybe it doesn't mean that because we see this enormous gulf, this chasm between this passage and our practice. And this passage says everyone should use their gifts, yet the reality is, as our research shows, that the majority of people in the majority of churches are unengaged in meaningful ministry and mission. So the Bible says everyone, the church says a special few, which is right. Well, part of the challenge is we need to move our practice in line with this passage, and we do that by beginning to recognize that everyone, all, have gifts. It says everyone should use it to serve others. Now, the majority of times in the New Testament, it talks about serving others or serving one another. It's referring about intra-church service, serving those who are ministering to one another. Perhaps there's children's ministry where you might serve, or mission engagement where we encourage one another along the way. In other words, a church that's following the dictates of this passage will be filled with people who are looking to serve one another. You won't have to beg or cajole or plead with people to serve one another. But when the time comes to teach the children, when the time comes to serve as a volunteer, then people say, well, here, I would be happy to do that because everyone should use their gifts to serve others. Now, I know that teaching the seventh grade boys could be a death sentence. I understand that. I understand the danger of entering in the environment, perhaps never to return. But this passage tells us that everyone should use their gifts. So if the people here, the good people at Norway Baptist Church and all of our gathered services were to say, every single one, well, pastor and pastors, you know, here I am, Lord, send me, saying to the Father, I'm ready to go, and then sharing with the pastor, I'm ready to serve, then what happens is the giftedness of the whole church is put ultimately into play. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:7 puts it this way. It says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial or for the common good. God has gifted you for the common good of this congregation and the world. See, I said the majority of references to serve others is to serve those within, but there's a significant thread throughout the scriptures that talks about serving the hurting. James talks about that true religion is ministering to the widow and to the orphan. When we look to the life and the ministry of Jesus, which we are invited to join, we see him announcing his ministry and talking about serving the poor and the blind and those who are in prison. And we get this overwhelming and amazing picture that, well, a church filled with people serving God and serving others is the kind of church that God desires for us. Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. You're thinking, I am so glad, Pastor, that you brought in a guest speaker to talk about the lazy people who aren't doing anything. And I'm actually not. Because I want you to know that I think it's actually part of the issue is that those of you who are already serving, and I'm so thankful and so grateful for you, that we have allowed those who have not been serving. You say, well, that's okay, you don't have to. It's kind of a special, unique thing that people serve in this way at our church. And what I want to say to you is, I believe we need to change the culture, and the culture needs to be reshaped so that we realize that God has called all of his people to ministry. So you might say, well, I thought God only called those who went to Bible college or to seminary to ministry. No, this passage says, based on the gift they have received, everyone should use their gift to minister to others. So I want you to hear this. You are called to the ministry. By the nature of your conversion, when you came to Christ, you were called to the ministry. I know you don't believe that, but it'll help you just to say it. So turn to somebody to your right and your left and say, he's talking about you. Go ahead and do that right now. I won't hurt you. Go ahead. Come on. He's talking about you. Some of you unsure. Some of you stubborn-hearted. Some wives pointed to the husband and said, you really need to listen to this. I like that. All right, so how do we get to the place that it became normal that churches were filled with passive spectators rather than active participants in the mission of God? Well, let me share a couple of reasons I think of the case. Here's one reason. The way we build our churches, right? So I look at this church right here, and I think that the way this church is built promotes passive spectators rather than active participants in the mission of God. Matter of fact, I just want to tell you, I don't like this building at all. Just, you know, you're thinking, welcome to the guest speaker coming in, criticizing. You're saying right now, well, we don't like you either, yank. And I get that. But I don't like this building at all. And here, let me tell you why. Because it's built like a theater. And what do theaters do? You come to theaters to watch a show. And so you can come to this church and sit here and watch. You can listen to the wonderful music. You can have the children's message with the video clip from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Didn't see that coming. You can have that. And then you can listen to a message. You can go home and say, well, that was fun. We sang, we listened, but my job was to be a passive spectator. So I hate this building. You say, Ed, what's the alternative? I don't have one. I just wanted to complain about the occurring reality. Right? I'm like a good church member. I just bring you my concerns, Pastor, and I don't have solutions to them. You have to fix it. And actually, it's actually a lovely church building. I'm just kidding. What a wonderful gift you have, and what a wonderful opportunity to gather in this space that God has gifted you with. So don't go home offended by the yank. I think it's a wonderful thing. And just to be perfectly honest, the church we planted 9 months ago, we actually meet in an actual movie theater, right? It's that shows movies, cinema. And we have very comfortable chairs. They actually recline, and they have cup holders, and a little sweeter. But herein is the challenge of both your church and my church, okay? When people gather together as if they are in a theater, we can expect them by nature to act like showgoers. And friends, we need less showgoers and a lot more servants. And see, that's ultimately the challenge, is that if we have these kinds of gatherings, and I recognize you get more than 20 people, you got to line them up in rows just to be able to see them. I recognize that. I was kidding. But what I want to say to you is this. One of the unintended side effects is of the way that we gather is we teach people passivity in their actions, and the reality is this is not a show. This is a training room where we teach God's word together. This is a worship place where we give glory to God, and so we speak of his wonder and his glory. And so here's the challenge, is that even in this, sometimes we can think that the goal of our Christian life is to come to church and sort of pay, pray, and stay out of the way. And what I would say is the goal of your life and mine is to be agents of God's mission, redeemed for God's agenda, now called to the ministry by the nature of our conversion. I'll tell you another thing is the language barrier, right? Right? We've got certain, there's two classes of people in this church. There's those who are the clergy, you know, people like me. I'm clergy. You? Not so much. Well, clergy makes this distinction. Pastor, you and I, we are clergy. Do we have to hang around the non-clergy, or can just you and I? Because what are we going to do after services? Pastor Angie and I, we're going to just go around town. We're going to clergy with other people. That's what we do. We're clergy, reverends. And then there's the rest of you. You're lay people. What do? Well, it's right in the word. You just lay around all the time. We clergy, you lay. But here's the thing. I want you not to miss this, right? Is that the idea here is fundamentally unbiblical and unhelpful. You and I, we are all called to the ministry. Yes, my role, pastor's role, is different, but the reality is we are all called to the ministry. 1 Peter 4 tells us. As a matter of fact, John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So we're all sent. Listen, we are all called to the ministry. We are all sent on mission. The only question is where and among whom and doing what. So you and I are called to the ministry. And yet too often our churches are filled with passive spectators rather than active participants in the mission of God. So how do we undo that? Well, first, aligning our practice with this passage, we recognize that all have gifts. Number two, that God intends all to use it. We all have the gifts. God now intends all to use those gifts. Now, where do we see that? Well, it's right here in the next part of the verse. It says, as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, a manager is an interesting job. A manager actually does not own where she or he works or serves. I'm imagining that many of you here are managers of something, right? It's a business that you serve. You're the manager. I and the different levels of management. I first became a manager when I was 19 years of age, and they printed out a little plastic name tag by pressing buttons on this little machine, and they said, Ed Stetzer, assistant manager of the Burger King. I was very excited about this. And I know you know Burger King. You've tried to fool me calling it Hungry Jack's, but I've looked at the menu, and I know the Whopper is the Whopper. It's eternally good and significant everywhere. But so I became the Hungry Jack's manager at 19. Well, what I found out is that assistant manager really meant guy who locks up at night and cleans up the restaurant and takes out the last haul of the rubbish. And so in there I knew, oh, well, this is maybe not as glamorous as I was hoping. But I was a manager. But why? Because I didn't own the restaurant. Davgar Enterprises, a franchisee, did. So Davgar Enterprises owned the restaurant. My job was to manage something that had been loaned to me for the purposes of the owner. And the Bible says then as we are to be as good managers of the varied grace of God. So we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit based on the gift they have received. Everyone should use it to serve others. How? As good managers of the varied grace of God. I want you to hear this, is the question is not whether or not you are gifted. If you are a Christian, you have been gifted by God. The question is not whether or not you're a manager. You are a manager of that gift. Here's the only question this passage puts before us. Are you a good manager or are you a bad manager? Now, maybe you've been to the mall. And when you go to the mall, all the stores are lined up, and there's this wide area in the middle, and there are these mall kiosks. And I'm always fascinated by the mall kiosk that's there, because there seem to be a couple of different kind of people who work at those places. There's the one person who's just driving you crazy every time you come by. So they come by, and they look at you, and they say, hey, I've got some product that will grow that hair back. Maybe they don't say it to you, but that's what they say to me. Or maybe look at you and say, oh, you look tired. You need to go on holiday. Let me sell you some you know, a holiday plan. And then there's that other person who's sort of sitting there, and the kiosk is sort of right over here, and they're sort of seated on their stool right here and making it very clear that they're not paying attention to you over here, ignoring you as much as they can. Matter of fact, you come over to buy that little cell phone cover that you want to get, the one with all the nice pink plastic jewels on it. And so you come up, I'm sorry, I have three daughters. And so that's the kind of cell phone covers we get at our house. Three daughters, right? Pray for me. And so they come up, And so they come up to the kiosk, and so the kiosk worker is sort of sitting right here. And as you walk up to the kiosk, they just subtly, they're reading a book, not generally this book, but they're reading a book, and they come up to the kiosk, and they just subtly do this, just enough that you get the points. Here's what's interesting. Both managers of kiosks are managers. One is a good one, one is a bad one. And what I want to say to you, if the scriptures are true, and they are, and they say that based on the gift they have received, everyone should use their gifts to serve others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So here it is. If the scriptures are true, and they are, you have been gifted for ministry. So the question you have to answer now is, am I a good steward or am I a bad steward of that gifting? In other words, when the opportunity comes to serve others, do I subtly and quietly turn away, making yet another excuse for my lack of engagement and involvement in God's mission and ministry? Or am I one who says, I'm going to be a good manager of the gifts that I have been given? You say, well, Ed, I already am, so this message isn't for me. It's for the people who are lazy, right? No, it's for you too. Because I want you to hear this. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says this. It says, but now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he has wanted. So God has knit all of you together at Narwee, and he's lifted all of you together so that you're to be a body, a local expression of the body of Christ, moving as one on mission into this community for the name and fame of Jesus. And so part of the solution to the passivity problem is the activity of those who are already serving, who will say, will you serve with me? Maybe right now there's somebody sitting next to you or near you or in your mind's eye. You can think of someone who you can say, you know, I want to say to you, would you join me and let's serve God together? See, the reality is a lot of people come to church because they want to be customers of the religious goods and services that are distributed well by the church. So if you get good music as you have here, and you get good preaching as you have here, what happened on normal Sundays, and you get the preaching and the music together, and you say, well, this is done well. This store is an excellent store. It provides the religious product that I desire, and so I come as a customer of the religious goods and services distributed well here. Well, can I just say to you this? If you come as a customer, eventually you will leave as a dissatisfied customer. You'll leave this store and go to another store down the road. But if you will move from being a customer to actually joining in the mission here and being a co-laborer knitted together with other members in the body, maybe you already are a co-laborer, so you turn to some of the customers and say, would you serve with me? The end result is we see God's people together living as agents of God's mission. So number one, all have gifts. Number two, God intends all to use. Number three, for which he empowers us. And I'm about running out of time, so I need to speed this up just a bit. I keep looking up to the back for a clock, and there's not a clock. And that's a little frustrating. But I've never seen so many exit signs in the back of one church. In a sense, that is a clock. I mean, that is You just really want to get out of here quickly, don't you? Exit, 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 and just run to the back. Number three. Number one, all have gifts. Number two, God intends all to use. Number three, for which he empowers us. Look at verse 11. It speaks about the Spirit's empowerment in two broad categories. If anyone speaks, his speech should be like the oracles of God. If anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides. So if you're here gathered, and maybe you're in the evening service watching, or maybe you're in the later morning service, or maybe you're in the early morning service, and you're saying, you know, we serve here, but they don't serve there, or we need more people to serve in each of these, the answer to that question always will be this. God's people saying, here I am, Lord, send me, like Isaiah does in Isaiah 6, and doing so and serving in and under the power of the Spirit. Listen to what it says. If anyone speaks, his speech should be like the oracles of God. If anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides. Two broad categories here, speaking and serving, word and deed. Some will speak by speaking and teaching this morning. During the children's message, we learned about Flint Lockwood. We saw a little video from Flint Lockwood, the young man there, and how he's, you know, try and do other ways. And the person who shared the children's message talked about that some will teach from pulpits like this, and they will once as these kids discover and find their gifts, but others will work with the children. Still others will serve the poor in the community and visit those who are in prison and share the gospel with the neighbors. And in doing so, we will do so in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting is this passage doesn't list a lot of spiritual gifts. Just two broad categories, speaking and serving. When anyone speaks, his speech should be like the oracles of God, teaching the word of God and the power of God. If anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides. So two broad categories. Gifts are listed in other places like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. But the reality is this, all believers are gifted, called, and chosen. And what a joyous church it is when the church is filled with people who are finding and discovering and using their gifts. You know, it's interesting that the video that he used was about this young man who would find his talents. And actually, there's a difference between talents and gifts. But let me share an example of talents, because even the world longs for a place where people are discovered and are able to shine and to use what God has given them. Remember a few years ago when Susan Boyle was on Britain's Got Talent and it made the rounds around the world? How many of you saw that video? Raise your hand for just a second. All right, the vast majority of you, the rest of you, any moment now, you'll get a television and you'll be able to watch that, because that was on every news station around the world, right? Everybody, I think you just didn't want to raise your hand because you're a stubborn people, and I can respect that. But Susan Boyle, she comes out, she walks out onto the stage from the side, and as she walks out, the audience starts to laugh immediately. They laugh at her as she walks out because she's not the standard of beauty maybe you'd expect on a show like this. And so immediately Simon Cowell, who's on the show at the time, asks questions like, how old are you? And she said, and they all chuckle, and he asks, where are you from? And she says, I'm a collection of villages. And she kind of stumbles where she's from, and they all laugh at her. They're looking and they're scoffing at her at that moment. And then he says, what are you going to sing, dearie? He calls her dearie, just in a very diminutive, patronizing way. And she says, I'm going to sing I Dream a Dream from Les Mis. And so she begins to, the music starts, da 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 da, and she begins to sing, and she says, I dream a dream in time gone by. And she hits that first line, much better than I do. She hits that first line, and the camera goes back to the audience, and their smirks are gone. And the next line she sings, and her voice gets stronger, and some of the jaws in the audience drop, and the camera goes to the judges, who are just shaking their head in wonder and surprise. And she hits the third line, and the camera zooms in, the third line of the song. The camera zooms in on Simon, and Simon smiles, and the world shakes for just a moment. And she sings, she goes on and on. She gets stronger and stronger, and it goes to the two guys backstage, and they say, you didn't see that coming, did you? And you didn't. So I'm watching this thing, right? My wife comes in. I'm watching this video over and over again on YouTube. She says, who is this woman you're watching on YouTube over and over again? I said, don't worry. I'm just watching. It's just on Britain's Got Talent. But I start watching this. I'm not a weepy guy. I start weeping watching this, right? At one point, I am crying like a 10-year-old girl at a Justin Bieber concert. I mean, I am like just touched and moved by this moment, and you did too, unless your heart is hard. You know why? Because even the world knows there should be a place where people's gifts and talents, there's a difference, we don't have time to unpack them all, are discovered and deployed for something great. But among the people of God, we help Christians to find the gifts of God so they might be stewards of the work of God, and they might be engaged in the mission of God, moving from being customers to co-laborers. Number four, and finally, and I'll close with this. Number one is all have gifts. Number two, God intends all to use. Number three, for which he empowers us. Number four, to bring God glory. Let me close with this. You know what it means when a guest pastor says, let me close with this? Absolutely nothing. Just letting you know. Last part of the verse says this, so that in everything, four key words, so that in everything. So why? That which before is going to lead to something after. So that in everything, and here it is, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You want God to be glorified in your church? We do it through when we sing of his glory and his wonder. You want God to be glorified through your church? You do it through song, but what we find here is you do it through serve. It says, to him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The reminder is, this is God's glory, and we rob God of his due glory in the church when God's people are passive spectators rather than active participants in the mission of God. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of pastors and the special role that they have, and they're to equip God's people for works of ministry to the building up of the body of Christ so that we together can serve him and bring God glory. So my encouragement to you is simple. If you're here today and you're already serving, I'm so thankful for your service. Whether it's inside this church or outside this church, or those who are hurting and without outside, or inside this church ministering to one another in the name of Christ, I'm so thankful for your service. Let me encourage you in it, but ask you to invite others to join you in that service. To think that could we be, have a passive spectator rather than active participant in the mission of God that I'm in friendship or relationship with, that I even today could say, would you help me? We're involved in the prison ministry. Would you help me? We're working with the children. Would you help me? We're working with the students. But for many of you here this morning and in the evening watching via video, I want to encourage you quite simply this. Maybe God's speaking to you to say, you know what? I need to put my practice in line with this passage. I'm part of the everyone who needs to use my gift to serve others as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Perhaps you're here and you're not yet a follower of Christ. I want to invite you, after the service, to talk to one of the pastors about how to receive that new life in him. Would you pray with me? Father, by your grace and your goodness, you have redeemed us and called us by name, given us new life, changed us. Father, I pray that we might live as those who have received new life in Christ, serving others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for my family, I pray for my church, and I pray for this church. May we all be marked by a people who look at this passage, align our practice with this passage, and yes, we say everyone should use their gifts as good stewards of God's manifold grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.